That's funny. That is convenient. Computer was about to start itself back up again in about 48 seconds. So we caught it just right. Well, that's warming up. Just make sure that things work correctly. Great. Well, that's warming up. I'd just like to start out this morning by saying, you know, throughout my 2 years here, I've really appreciated being a part of this congregation. And you all have really helped me through a lot of, you know, good times and tough times as well. I know when I first decided I was coming here, you know, you tell people in the church, oh, you know, I'm going to IU. You don't get some very good reactions sometimes. You know, it has some kind of a bad connotation sometimes. And so, you know, eventually for me it was like, I was just trying, I had the goal of trying to keep the faith that I already have here, that I already had back then. But it turned out to be something greater than that. I was able to grow, and I think I've, you know, grown a lot more in these last 2 years just being here than I have at home for the last 18 years. So I really appreciate all of you for that, and I just want to tell you thank you. And we are going to dearly miss those of you who are going to be going away from us very soon. Be dearly missed. Sermon this morning is about simplicity. This is something that I think we all struggle with in our lives, trying to keep our lives as simple as possible. And as a comparison, I'd like to talk about first how the world is very complex. This is apparently our solar system. It's a very wide, big universe. We are just a small part of it. This is just a small part of the universe. And we're placed on this small planet called planet Earth, and we're supposed to figure out why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. It's complicated. It's not easy to figure out. That is a virus. So we go from big to small. Something as small as that, I don't know what that's I didn't get the magnification on that, but something so small like that can cause so much harm. So obviously, we live in a very complex world. It's not a simple thing to figure out. We have wars amongst countries. We have wars among ourselves. Each and every one of us individually has different responsibilities that we have. You know, each one of us can have a lot of name tags up there during our everyday lives. We have responsibilities and so many obligations that we have. We feel like we're being pulled in every different direction. The world is complicated. We also have emotions. You know, that's if you can't tell, the screen's a little dark. I might try to make the screen a little brighter. That's not going to help on there, though. But that's all right. So as far as this goes, you know, so that's a person, obviously, sad for some reason. But we all have our good times and our bad times. We have our ups and downs. So all these things tell us that the world is complicated. The world is not an easy place to figure out. We can take comfort in the fact, though, that God's promise to us is simple. We read in Ecclesiastes 12:13, the famous verse. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you'd like to read along with me, I'd like to read that verse in Revelation, the 20th chapter, beginning in verse 11. I think this paints the picture just about better. These verses right here paint the picture just about as good as any other verse or verses. Revelation 20th chapter, and beginning in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And there was another book that was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. They were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That last verse is pretty simple. Anyone who was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is, I would say, probably ultimately why I stayed with the church. God's promise is simple. There are some parts that we might be confused about, and that's why we're all here, to try to work these things out, to try to read God's word to find out what he wants us to do. But overall, his promise is simple to us. We need to obey him. We need to have a relationship with him. We want to be written in that book of life, because if we're not, it's not going to be a good situation for us. So whereas the world is complicated, God's promise is simple. So now I'd like to ask you, is your life simple? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, one of my favorite verses, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands. Now, this can easily be taken out of context. Certainly not saying that we just need to be here not doing anything. That's not what it's saying at all. But our focus needs to first be on God, and that's what we'll see throughout this. You know, it's a hard thing to lead a quiet life in the world today. There are two sources of complexity in the world, and for our own lives, at least. There's the self-inflicted kind, the kind that you put on yourself in anything that you do, you know. And then there's those from outside sources, things we can't control that complicate our lives. And those things are just going to happen, and we deal with them every single day. But we still have to learn how to deal with those things. And as I said, staying busy is not wrong. In fact, we are supposed to do that. Turn with me in 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, beginning in verse 10. This is a fairly well-known verse. Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. So we do need to stay busy doing things. It's not that we just need to be here not doing anything at all, but it's in the right context, with the right perspective. And it's very easy perspective. The first bullet point is how many hours there are in the day and in the week. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is how often we come here. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's very easy in our everyday lives to get wrapped up in this cycle of, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And we tend to forget about God. We tend to forget about God and his promises to us. So it's obviously very easy to lose perspective on what we need to be doing. And this is kind of the big point. As I said, it's very easy to get wrapped up in this world of confusion. It's not just a one-time thing. It's when you go through a day and you realize at the end of that day, I haven't really spent time with God today. I've really been focusing on other things, and there are plenty of other things that need our attention. As we said, we've all got a whole bunch of name tags. that describe the things we do and the things we attempt to do and all of those things. But it's really easy to get wrapped up in this world and to lose perspective as to why we're here. So I'd like to offer, this is kind of the big point of this sermon, 4 practical ways to make your life more simple. And these are the 4 that we're going to go through this morning. The first one that I always like to do is put aside some time each day to talk with God. So what does a day look like for you? You know, get up in the morning, you might eat breakfast, some of us do, some of us don't. And then you go to school or work, and then you eat again. And you have your afternoon, you probably eat again then, and then probably go to bed and have all these things on your mind and your dreams, try to sort out everything that you got in your mind. But ask yourself, have you really spent time to talk with God in that whole day? You know, some days are great, some days are not. Some days start out being great and they end badly. Some days start out badly and they end up being great. You never know what you're going to get, and what you expect is often not what happens. But with God, you don't have to deal with these complexities of your day alone. We're going to look at a few of the Psalms here. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Psalm 46, the first 2 verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. In Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. I think that last verse really hits it on the head. Seek the Lord and his strength. You know, sometimes I forget to do so, but a lot of times I like to wake up in the morning, just spend some time talking to God. It could be in prayer, it could be just having a conversation with him. Just telling him, hey, you know, I've got these things on my mind, you know, I'm kind of concerned about this. I mean, I really hope this day is going to go well, but even if it doesn't, I know that you're there with me. And when those bad days come about, it just makes it go a little bit more smoothly. It may not take care of all your problems. You're still going to have to take care of those problems, but you've got God to be there with you when those troubling times come about. It makes the day a little bit more simple. It makes your outlook on the day a bit more simple. And do it every day. You know, talk to God about the great things. Tell him about how you're just excited about his promise to you, about how you're grateful for it, about how you know he's there for you. Not just on the good days, because you never know when a good day is going to turn out bad. I've had those situations plenty of times. So you need him every day, and I would suggest, to make your life a little bit more manageable, talk to him every day. Have a dialogue with him. Keep him in the forefront of your mind, and he'll keep you in the forefront of his mind. The second thing I would suggest doing is sometimes, as I said, we get wrapped up in a little confusion. What's going on in our lives? What are we going to do about it? Issues are complicated. But take a step back. Gain perspective. Life can be a vicious cycle. And at the end of our lives, do we want to be sitting there saying, I accomplished all this, 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 and this, and yet I didn't save time for God. I didn't save time to really have a dialogue or a conversation or a relationship with God. And I hope we don't do that at the end of our lives. I'd like to read a couple passages here about perspective. One from Luke, the 10th chapter. Beginning in verse 38 to 42. This is Mary and Martha. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, A certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, talking about Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." This is a great lesson in perspective for us. Obviously, the physical things of this life are important. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of those who need our help, possibly. But there are things that are more important than those things. Sometimes those things conflict, and we have to have our priorities straight and have good perspective. Let's turn over then to Mark chapter 8, beginning verse 36. And this is, again, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So the point is, it's all about priorities. It's all about keeping in mind that even though we have these responsibilities and all these name tags, their most important name tag is as God's child, God's servant. That's the most important name tag that we're going to wear in this life. Don't find yourself thinking in worldly terms. I know it's easy, especially for me, when I get in a heated debate, maybe about politics or whatever, to think in worldly terms. You know, oh man, it's so bad. This country's gonna, you know, go down and this and all that. And God's promise still stands, and it's not going to change. His promise to us still stands. So don't find yourself thinking all the time in those worldly terms, because then you'll forget about God's promise. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. And this is a huge problem for us. We only have a finite amount of time here. We don't have forever to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Don't spend it in the cycle of complexity, of trying to figure out what's going on here. What do I need to do to accomplish this next objective, etc. Those things are important, but in the end, they're not going to get you to heaven. This is a very important point that I think we tend to overlook sometimes. Relationship over technicalities. You know, God's promise is pretty simple, but we can make it complex. People all around the world that have made it complex, taken things out of context to mean something that they aren't. But do you ever feel overwhelmed by all of God's commandments? I mean, there are quite a few of them. Look at the book of 1 John. You might not be able to read that, but these are all, I don't want to say all, but just a few of the commandments and the suggestions that are written in the book of 1 John for us. Walk in the light. Don't lie. Confess our sins. Confess his name. Keep his commandments. Don't love the world. Don't sin. Beware of the Antichrist. Believe in God and Jesus. Test the spirits and abide in God. Did you get all that? It's not easy to get in just one breath. So obviously there are a lot of things that we have to remember. But what's the one thing up here that I forgot? Love. Isn't that the thing that encapsulates all of this? Love is mentioned throughout the whole book of 1 John in just about every one of these circumstances. And so, you know, if you don't have love for God and love for each other, the other commandments are useless. So my point here is, yeah, we get wrapped up in all these commandments of God and all of these things that we have to do. And yes, we should be striving to do those and searching the scriptures to find out that if these things are true, and trying to find out what exactly we need to be doing. But if our relationship with God is not right, these things aren't going to be either. So just as we talk about talking to God, having a dialogue with God, it's also important to have a working relationship with God. Because otherwise, these things aren't going to come from. The other commandments are a result of love, and love comes from them. Focus on your relationship with God, and the other things will follow. I'm not saying they're going to follow without some kind of work. However, it's important to have that base relationship with Him. And this is what the world sometimes doesn't understand. His relationship with God is so important. And also, I think this teaches us how to talk to people who haven't necessarily known God, known Jesus. You can preach to them all day about these things. That might work for a few, sometimes. This is going to work a lot more times than those other things are going to work. Tell them about your love for God. Tell them about your love for Jesus Christ. Bring them to God, and then they will see why these things are important, why these are necessary to have a life with Christ. But not just talking with others. This is important for us too. It simplifies what God's promise to us is. If we love Him, we're going to keep His commandments. We need to have love for Him, and we already know that He has love for us. And finally, focusing on the small things. You know, there are plenty of things that we can be concerned about. As I said, we've all got our name tags. We've got plenty of things that take up our time on this earth. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. There are things that are important, that are things that aren't so important. But these things can be important. Let's read Luke chapter 15. It's the parable of the lost sheep. Luke chapter 15, beginning in the first verse. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Him and to hear Him. The Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So He spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls all of his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Small things are important. And the thing I would encourage us all to do is to take joy in the small things of life. You know, we were just talking about in the car ride here, the at the mall, the pet center relieves a lot of stress for college students during finals week, let me tell you. But just taking joy in the small things, the air outside, beautiful day today, taking joy in the small things that God has given us. Because if we only find joy in things that are complex, our life is going to be complex. I'm not saying some of these things don't deserve joy and don't deserve a look into. It's all about how are you going to spend your time? You're going to spend your time feverishly working after something that's going to take your whole life? Or are you going to devote your life to God with these other things on the side? It's possible. However, it's all about having priorities straight. So these are kind of three statements, if that was all mumbo-jumbo confusing, to sum up what I've been trying to say. At the end of your life, don't look back and realize that you spent all of your time wrapped in a car. complex world. As I said, it's a vicious cycle. You wake up, you go to bed. You wake up, you go to bed. You find that you haven't really thought about it. I can't tell you how many days I've had where at the end of the day I've been like, you know, oh, I accomplished a lot today. I did great. But where was the time for God in there? There was none. And then, you know, that's not a very good day. So spend as much time with God as you can in your relationship with God, in your dialogue with God. And the more simple you make your life, the more time you will be able to devote to God. As we said, some of the complexity of the world stems from things that are out of our control. The world will not always be simple, but you can make your life, typo there, you can make your life of service to simple. Developing a relationship with Him, developing a dialogue with Him, and those other commandments in 1 John, those will come out of that, out of your love for God and your desire to serve Him and Him only. That requires time. It requires sacrifice. We're not going to be able to accomplish everything we want to in this world. We're not going to be able to, you know, necessarily devote all our time like we would want to the things we care about. But this should be the thing we care about the most. It's our life and our service to God. So that basically sums up the sermon this morning. We encourage you this morning, if you haven't had a life with Christ, your choice to have a life with God, a relationship with Him, to be a children of His, will be one of the most important choices you make in your life. It will be the most important choice you make in your life. We encourage you to do that this morning, or if you are already a child of God's and you need the prayers of the congregation, we would encourage you to come forward this morning as we stand and sing. I keep